Hey, home theater nerds. Thanks for pushing play on the Bright Side Home Theater Podcast. The podcast that's all about the experiences, the sights, the sounds, the scenes. And this week, Roland Emmerich's The Day After Tomorrow. The picture quality. No HDR, but how does it stack up? No Atmos, but is it still fun? I'm going to head into the theater to tell you about some of my favorite scenes and maybe a few scenes that you might have missed something. And while I do that, if you hit subscribe on your favorite podcast platform, that'd be great. And if you're on YouTube, hit the little subscribe button. It's right down there. Let's go.
This is Bright Side Home Theater.
A Day After Tomorrow on Blu-ray. What a home theater experience. But what do you expect out of a Roland Emmerich film? Disaster? It is a disaster, but it is not a disaster in your home theater. It is a great experience. The picture here, just a Blu-ray, just 1080p, no HDR, no 4K, but it looks beautiful. I'm going to get to some scenes. There's one scene in particular that I swear that if I didn't tell people that it wasn't HDR, you would think that it was HDR. It looked that good. It was that impressive. It's probably not one that you would guess. It's not an action-packed scene or anything like that, but I really enjoyed the nuance of the picture in this, the picture quality, I should say, in this movie. Lots of contrast, nice deep blacks, lots of stuff. Like throughout the movie, there are times like, ooh, that looks really nice. Their hair textures looked really good. Celia Ward's hair texture, she had a little highlight on the side. That came through really nice. If it was to ever get a 4K with HDR upgrade, I think it would be fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. But this as it is, the Blu-ray, highly recommend. I'm giving the picture a box of popcorn. I really, really enjoyed this. Sound wise, it's Roland Emmerich. I would probably give this 4 boxes of popcorn if I could, but I can't because it was just missing that visceral feel. It had great bass throughout the movie. Very distinct. I'm going to say that a lot when I'm breaking down these scenes, but it was very crisp bass, very distinct bass, but it was just missing that punch in the chest that you like to feel, that rumble up through the seat when things are happening and things start to go south and the defecation starts to hit the rotary oscillator. I say that again later. All of that is going, that takes place, but it feels like it should be coming up through your seat or giving you a punch in the chest, but it's just not there. Doesn't take you out of the movie. Still enjoyable. But that's what I lowered it. I gave it 2 boxes of popcorn because the sound in this movie, just being DTS Master Audio 5.1, but it still sounds really, really good. But it just was missing that extra that you really like to have, especially in a Roland Emmerich disaster film. So the wind's whipping around outside. The storms are brewing here. Kind of my motivation for doing this in the first place. Oh, well, wait, and Moonfall's coming out as you're listening to this today. So Roland Emmerich, storms are brewing outside. I got lots of shoveling to do, but let's break this down. We've got the popcorn popping and nice and toasty in here. So let's break this down and let's start where we always start. And this opening scene is really cool, which I really wouldn't expect anything less from Roland Emmerich, to be honest with you. But we start out with this standard 20th Century Fox logo, the gold, we know it as 20th Century Fox with the floodlights going on it. And then it slowly transitions to that blue monochromatic hue, getting cold. And then you get a little bit of lightning behind it. And at about the 20-second mark, 20 seconds into this whole movie, the opening scene, we get a nice thunderclap on the left side of your screen. Really, really cool. And it, like I said, 20 seconds into this movie, nice transition, the way they move that 20th Century Fox logo to the that fun monochromatic blue. Then from there, we transitioned right into the opening logos or opening credits flying out over the water. The room becomes filled with sound with the score, and you get a really nice 3D effect with the opening credits being superimposed over the water as we're water slash icebergs, as we're seeing the melting icebergs in the water, and we're making our approach to what their base camp in the Arctic is. Really cool. Nice, deep 3D effect here. I really enjoyed that, especially for a Blu-ray movie. No 4K, no HDR, but it still had that. It had nice depth, and the way they doubled up on the letters, almost like the shadow onto the water, giving you that like sensation that you can reach out there, and there was some nice depth to the field. So up next at 4 minutes even, I didn't do anything. I gave it one box of popcorn. It really takes off here. This is what they're on. The Dennis Quaid and the other characters are on the, you know, North Pole, wherever, and they're on ice, and it starts cracking all around them. If you start this at the 4 minute mark, you can start to hear it crack around your room very slightly. But then, excuse me, sorry about that. Then, as the cracking becomes more intense and more localized to them, you go out to, I don't know the character's name or the actor's name, but he played Bunchy on Ray Donovan. But anyways, so he's outside. He's the one that says, I didn't do anything. So he's outside and the cracking starts to happen around him. And there's one crack, maybe at 4 minutes and 10 seconds. It's very early on in this scene, where the crack actually on your screen goes from the right side of your screen to the left side of your screen. And you can hear it. It goes actually down the front, across diagonally across your room. But there's a lot of cracking going on because the ice shelf is starting to crack all around them. But there is one distinct one that goes diagonally across your room from the front right to the left rear. That one was really cool. But right from there, they transition into this inside their little trailer, and Dennis Quaid is in there. And now you get the same cracking effect, but there's a nice echo and a deeper bass to it because you're inside. You're hearing this cracking from inside. So there's a difference to that cracking noise. Really, really cool. Then you go back outside and the cracking and the bass becomes more intense because now that ice shelf, it's becoming an earthquake, and that ice shelf is actually moving and you can feel it in your room. As I said earlier, not the greatest bass, not the deepest bass, really nice bass in this movie, but not, I couldn't feel anything throughout this movie. I would, maybe someday if they remaster this, we'll get that deeper bass, but it just wasn't there with this. And I was up mixing this, you know, DTS Master Audio, and I'm up mixing it with Neural X. So it had a nice effect, but nothing like what I talk about in other movies where you get that punch and that feel. No visceral bass here. And this one would have been nice if I could have felt it in my seat. But I still gave it a box of popcorn because the effects around the room, the cracking panning, if you will. All right, let's move along to 8 minutes and 20 seconds. Taxi! So here Dennis Quaid is talking to Bilbo Baggins, and they're trying to hail a taxi. And actually, it's Ian Holm. He played Bilbo, but he's, I forget his character's name in this movie. He's the doctor. We're in spoilers. He ends up dying because he's up north and it freezes, can't get out of there. But anyways, here their first meeting for the first time. They go and have a cup of tea, but they're having a little conversation as they're getting ready to get a taxi, and the chaos going on around them, the traffic, the people talking, everything going on, full room engagement, all subtleties, but it's full room engagement. So you can hear conversations going on around you, all around your room, different voices, different things going on. But then also you can hear the cars go by, pan by from left to right. And there was a real cool sense of depth there because some of it was coming from the front of the room and some of the pans were coming from the rear of the room because the traffic was moving in front of you back and forth. So, and the traffic was going in both directions. So you got pans from left to right and right to left. Really, really cool. Plus, again, your speakers are already pulling double duty because they're doing all of that work and trying to give you all of the sounds of all the people talking all around you. Really, really cool. Sometimes, watching this scene a few times, it takes you out of their conversation because I'm trying to hear maybe if I can pick up on another conversation other people are having, but it's just gibberish, so you really can't. But it was that engaging and that much fun to watch over and over. I don't want to give it any boxes of popcorn, but it is still fun to sit there and watch this scene over and over. Up next, we have a really cool transition scene that I want you to start this at 10 minutes and 40 seconds. The transition comes in at about 10:45, and Bilbo Baggins, Ian Holm, says something about dancing girls and parties or something, and then they transition to a city, and you see the red lights on top of like a police car. But the thunder that you get in this transition, again, nothing you can feel, but it was so crisp and overhead with the upmixing that I'm doing. And also when I went back to just the straight DTS 5.1, really not, it still played really nice and did feel like it was coming from overhead. So between the upmixing, a little bit more sense over my head, 5.1, I still got that idea. Now, is that in my brain because I had already seen it and watched the scene? I don't know. But I do know that the scene plays really well, sounds really cool. And that bass inside that thunderclap, and the thunder moves over you from the right side of your room to the left side of your room. And then as the scene plays out, you're in a rainy city street. I think it's Tokyo or somewhere over in Asia, something like that. But the rain, you have the sound of the rain, but the thunder was very prominent overhead. And like I said, it was so crisp. I wish I could have felt it, but it was still very, very crisp, like bass, very distinct. And like I said, moving around back and forth overhead as thunder does, as it rolls, was really, really nice. All right, up next at 11 minutes, 25 seconds, Hail. I gave it 2 boxes of popcorn. This is that basically that same scene we were just talking about, but now the hail has started to come down. And that first piece that comes in at about 11:25, 11:26, it comes in from the back. You hear the whoosh, and then the smashing on the ground, but it comes in and pans from behind you from, I believe, from right to left, if I'm not mistaken, but almost center of the room to the left side of your room. Really cool. But then the hail starts hitting all around you, and it sounds like your room is getting pummeled in hail. There's times when it sounds like it's hitting rooftops, so it sounds like it's hitting outside of your room on the rooftops. Really, really cool scene. 2 boxes of popcorn. This is one you definitely want to get, especially if you have a dedicated room. You bring somebody down and you want to show off your theater. This is a fun one because there's a lot going on here. A lot of bass, a lot of pans, a lot of sounds going on all around you, hitting the ground. Again, this one here, this is one of those scenes that would be really cool if we ever get that additional speakers down low that I talk about all the time. One of my wish list things. Yet we have elevated speakers. Now I need speakers down low in this room so that when something was to hit down on the ground, we can localize that even better. That would be really cool. Imagine the sound of all of those those softball-sized hail pieces hitting the floor of your theater or of your living room. The lights are out. It would be incredible. Lots of fun. This is an example of where that could be utilized. And hey, maybe someday. Fingers crossed, everybody. All right. Moving on to 13 minutes, 50 seconds. So cool. I gave this 1 box of popcorn. It is literally a 7-second scene. But I called it so cool for many, many reasons. I'm like watching this scene over and over. And again, it's like 7 seconds over and over. And I was like, what's a creative name? I could call it Hey Jack, because a few minutes earlier, I forget the character's name, but he's the one that's, He's the liaison between Dennis Quaid and the president and the vice president. So he's looking for him here. And Dennis Quaid's name is Jack. So he says, "Hey, Jack." And he's looking inside an office there. He's outside of in a office room type. And he sees inside the cooler, inside the freezer, that's where Jack is. And if you start this at 1350, you see him walking to the cooler door, the freezer door, and he opens it and walks in. This is the fun part. Soon as he opens the door, you get whoosh, this huge, deep whoosh. That when you open a door, any door, I've worked in a freezer, I never got this sound, but it is awesome because it's at the back of the room. And he walks into the room and sees Dennis Quaid in there looking at frozen samples from the Arctic. Okay, end of scene. That's it. But let's back up and do it again. Because watch as they go in, as he goes in from the office area, the warmer room, nice, normal colors. He walks into the freezer. Everything turns blue. We get that same, like the opening of the 20th Century Fox logo. It went to all monochromatic inside the freezer. Everything was cold. Everything was lit in white or blue. Awesome look. Really, really cool look. Right as he's going through the door, there's an exit sign over him. That helps with the transition because you see that red glow on his head and in the I would say smoke, but it's not. It's the cold air meeting the warm air. So you get that condensation, the cloud between the two, and it's all cold inside that room. We're going to talk about that in a second. Again, this is a 7-second scene. I've probably been talking for a little more than 7 seconds on this one scene. So he comes in and you have that transition of that red up top as he walks into the room. Now, once he gets in the room and they have their conversation in the freezer, everything is that monochromatic. Okay. Let's back it up again. Go back outside the room. We start it again at about 1350. And he walks into the room. Warm, warm. The door opens. We get the whoosh. We get the now that cloud of smoke. Check out the funnel. How many scenes did they have to do to get that funnel twisting? Which is what this movie is about. All of the storms that are going to, you know, form like a hurricane with the eye in the middle. We get a little one of those on the left side of your screen, which pulls the sound to the left side of your screen as you get in that whoosh as you come through into the monochromatic environment of inside this freezer. Cool. So cool. I couldn't name it anything else. It's a 7-second scene, and I watched it probably 5 or 6 times just to prepare to talk to you guys about this. Definitely check that one out. Lots of fun. So much fun. All right. Enough on that 7-second scene. Let's move on to 17 minutes and 20 seconds going down. And this is where the debate team or the really smart kids are going on a field trip to New York. So the plane's going down. They're experiencing some turbulence and all of a sudden the plane is going to be dropping in altitude very rapidly. And the plane starts shaking. We get, you know, the tray cart starts moving across, you know, flies down the aisle. That's a cool part of it. But what's really cool is once it starts to pick up, the plane that is, it starts to pick up speed. We get a really nice sound of, it sounds like it's on either side of the room, like the wings are going through the air, like you're in the cabin of the plane. And you can hear the as it's picking up speed. So that's happening, but you're also getting the bass, the nice sound, crisp sound of bass overhead from the thunder and everything that's going on outside the plane. And then as the scene plays out, the baggage compartments start opening up and things start falling out. And that's localized up over your head or to the sides of you, just like if you were in the cabin, if you were in the plane and the baggage is falling on you. I happen to not have any baggage compartments in my theater. Maybe you do. So it was weird that it was baggage falling out from the ceiling in my room. Really, really cool. Again, if this ever gets an Atmos mix or a DTS:X mix, maybe that the sense of that is heightened a little bit more, but upmixing with the Neuralax sounded really, really good. Lots of fun. And DTS 5.1. pretty good. All right, let's move along to 27 Minutes Even, Los Angeles. I give this 2 boxes of popcorn because this is when the defecation is hitting the rotary oscillator. We're in it now. LA is about to be wiped out by a whole bunch of tornadoes. The transition from here is we come from Dennis Quaid seeing this on the TV. They're in Washington and the report comes on saying we're going to go live to Los Angeles, and they do. And the camera is overlooking Los Angeles. And to open this scene, the helicopter comes in from the left rear of your room, goes right across the front of your room and out towards the middle of the room. It kind of pans to the right because the helicopter does like a sweeping motion like that, like this, like my hand, if you're watching this on YouTube. And it pans from the right and then comes back into the center. But the whole room is engaged. We have winds blowing all around. We have like thunder noises. Really, really cool score. And then we see the Hollywood sign start to be wiped out. And the sound of that kind of scrolling across your screen really, really nicely. And then the scene jumps back to Washington and you're watching it on the TV. So you get a nice transition there. Very quick transition there of the sound. So now you're hearing it on the TV in Washington. Then, of course, we go back to LA to finish this scene out. Pans all over the place. Crisp bass. Localized sound. Things, you know, things blowing by your screen. One news reporter gets wiped out and he gets wiped right off the screen. And the sound of the whatever it was, the piece of building or whatever that wiped him out, that pans across your screen, across the front of the room. But the score is there. The sound, the thunder is there. The wind is all around you. I'm talking about all of this stuff going on in your room sound-wise. But yet, you can still make out and understand all of the dialogue. Again, we're having dialogue issues. Controversies? Yeah, I can't even say the dialogue. This is a monologue because it's just me. But anyways, you can understand all of the characters. They're in the middle of a windy street and one guy's yelling, get back, get back. Now it's very faint. But it's clear with everything going on. I answered a question earlier this week about, you know, does my room add to that? In my audio only podcast, does the fact that I'm up mixing, does that add to that? So I talked about that on Takeover Tuesday this past Tuesday, and there's a possibility to that, but that's the point. As I said the other day, it's like the idea that, oh, my room is adding to it, or the fact I have a center channel. Well, that's the idea. When they're mixing these movies, they're mixing them with the intention of the best possible scenario being played back. If you want to take all that sound and put it into a single speaker, you're going to lose some quality. Quality here is fantastic. It's appropriately placed. It's not like I hear that guy screaming in the middle of the street. It's there and it sounds like barely audible, but it is audible and you can understand exactly what he's saying. Just like the actors that are doing the reports in the wind in these storms. If you need to know what it is, you'll understand it. So again, like I said last week with Tenet, and like I'm saying now, it's the audio, the dialogue, it's there. It sounds good. I don't think we have an audio controversy, a dialogue controversy. So if you have the right system, you're going to hear everything. All right. Anyways, great scene. Great scene. Great home theater environment scene. Great demo scene. 2 boxes of popcorn. Check all of that out because it's about to get better. This Roland Emmerich. All right, let's move along to 40 minutes, 15 seconds, minus 150 degrees. I gave this one a box of popcorn. This one here is where the three helicopters, they're in the eye of the storm, in the eye of the hurricane, or storm, because it's not a hurricane, I guess. And the cold air is pouring in, and their helicopters start to fail. Awesome, awesome sound. Because let's break it down. We've got the wind coming in, but then that's whipping all around your room. But as the helicopters start to freeze, it sounds like the walls of your room are starting to freeze. The instrument panels start to freeze and they're tapping on them. Like apparently if stuff starts to freeze and you tap it, it unfreezes. I don't know. kind of a funny reaction to frozen things. But anyways, so everything's starting to freeze. But when those instrument panels are freezing, you can hear that crackling going across the front of your room, like your screen is freezing. The fuel lines or the lines overhead start to freeze. You can hear that at about the 40 minutes and 40 second mark. You can hear this beeping. It's right around there. A beeping starts in the left rear of your room, but not to the speaker that I have over on my left and not to my rear channel speaker, which is like a little bit behind me. It's kind of in the corner, not perfectly placed. I don't know if the beep's supposed to be there. I've never been in these helicopters. But it sounds really cool because all of a sudden you get this beeping noise. That's after a crash. One of the helicopters has already crashed at this point. You get a nice bass thud when the helicopter goes down. There's bass going on all through here. At the end of the scene's at about 41 minutes and 20 seconds, I believe, something like that. When the pilot opens up and then everything, he starts to freeze, but your room starts to calm down and you hear just the wind blowing and then him and everything around him start to freeze, start to crackle over. Really, really cool scene. Personal note, I've experienced this. I worked in a freezer as a kid, 20 years old, and I had a new hire with me and we went up, it was an ice cream plant. And we had these flash freezing sections of the freezer where I worked. The normal temperature inside the freezer of an ice cream plant is minus 20 degrees. You go inside here where we flash freeze the ice cream. It comes through. It freezes the entire thing from production. From the production to when we can stack it up, it goes from minus 120 degrees at the top. And then at the bottom where it comes out is probably looking at about minus 50 degrees inside this room. I took a trainee up there. We get to the top. You open the hatch, just like if you're coming up out of a manhole, top floor, minus 120 degrees up there. He took one breath. I had to carry him down. He couldn't breathe because he did what this guy did. He took a breath and inside it shocked him. And he was like, and I was like, don't do that. We got him downstairs to the warm negative 20 and he was fine. But it can happen. That was at minus 120. This is obviously colder, but really cool scene. Fun experience that I had. But all right, let's move along to 45 minutes, 20 seconds. The wolves. And this is where it looks like guards or something for the locals at the New York Zoo. They're looking for the animals and the wolves have escaped. So start this at 45, 20, decent place to start on this. And the entire area that they're walking through is all flooded. Pay attention to the sounds of them trudging through the water. Really, really nicely placed. So there's two guards coming through with flashlights. Scene looks really nice, by the way. And you get the sound is localized to each character, each guard's trudging. So if there are two on the screen and one is a little bit more to the right walking in the water, you can hear him, his footsteps in the what, his splashing, if you will, on that side of the screen. And then the other guard is coming through, say, on the left side, and you can hear him splashing through the water on the left side of the screen. As the scenes, you know, jump, because they'll have jump scenes from different points of view, the sound moves appropriately. At about 45 minutes and 32 seconds, I think it was, he opens the gate. He says, "Hey, Caesar, check this out." And he slides open a gate. Caesar, who's, I guess, the other guard, his trudging, his splashing comes in from the left side. But then also you can hear the gate go, the metal sliding off to the right side of your screen. Then that guard that opened the gate, he steps forward, walks in, the scene flips, and now you're looking at them from behind and you can hear them splashing through the water appropriately placed on your screen and to each side of where they should be. Really, really subtle scene. I love these subtle things. So that's why I put this one in here. A lot of fun. No boxes of popcorn, but a lot of fun. Check out those little details there. All right, let's move along to 48:52, The Wall of Water. Getting two boxes of popcorn for this 13 second scene. Another nice short scene, but this is that's all I want you to pay attention to. It's a great scene after this, because this is where the wall of water, where the ocean surges and comes in and basically floods New York, and boats come in and everything, and which is a fantastic scene. But everybody knows that. I want you to pay attention to this 13 seconds. And at 48:52, we start and we see this wall of water starting to make its way into New York. Of course, the wall of water, not of course, on the right side of your screen is where we start. And the room is filled. You got the score, the ominous score going. You have the sound of the wave, because it's not a wave that's crashing. It's not. It's just a surge of water, a wall of water, a swell coming in. But the sound actually pans all the way. And it takes the 13 seconds to pan from the right side of your room to the left side of your room. It's fantastic. I watched this over and over because I wanted to hear just that wave going across the room. Your room is fully engaged. There's stuff going on all over the place. But your front channels are taking this wave, this swell, and the bass, the sound, the whoosh, as it goes across your room. And then at like 49 minutes and 5 seconds, the like 13 seconds later, we get a jump cut to overlooking New York. Scene's over, that I'm talking about. Go back, jump back 10, 20 seconds and listen to it again, and you'll hear that wave just slowly move across your screen, all the while your room is fully engaged with everything that's going on, with the score and all the other sounds. And then, of course, by all means, let it play out, because a lot is going on here. There's a lot of nice deep bass. There's a lot. I mean, it's a great scene. Everybody knows this scene when New York floods. It's Roland Emmerich, disaster films. Things are going to get ruined. So, but check out that wave. Really, really good. Two boxes of popcorn. All right, let's jump ahead to 54 minutes and 50 seconds, the library. And this is another very subtle scene. Really, really cool. So we're in the library, the storm, they've survived the big flood, and they're hunkering down in the library, all of the people. So you have the ambience of that library and the people talking all around. We have a conversation going on that we're paying attention to, but like I said, started at 54:50, and at about the 55-minute mark, even you can hear on the right side of your room, overhead, to the right side of the room, you can hear very faintly a nice deep bass of thunder just going on, like it would be going on outside of the library. You know, the sound you're hearing sounds like it's filtered through the building. But it's really cool because it's just there. It just all of a sudden you get, and it rolls. It actually felt like it moved from about a quarter of the way in my room to about three quarters of the way in my room. Really cool sound of thunder that if you're not listening to this at reference level, maybe you don't pick it up. Maybe it's a little bit fainter and you just don't notice it because you're paying attention to the dialogue. Does that. And or the ambience of the room drowns it out a little bit. I always listen to these things at reference level to get the most and make sure I'm getting everything that I should be getting. Yeah, the rest of my house can hear it too. But all right, let's move along to 1 hour, 21 minutes, 16 seconds. Dropping in, gave it a box of popcorn. This is where Frank falls through the ceiling at the Sky Galleria, the all glass ceiling. And of course, we get the cracking as it happens. He falls through. Nice bass there. But what I want you to pay attention to in this scene is the wind that's going on outside of all around your room, I should say. So the scene jumps back and forth from either seeing Frank dangling inside the Galleria, and you can hear the sounds and everything going on outside. Little bit of overhead there. Nice ambient. The sounds of the rope, even when this, let me jump back to that. When the scene first happens and he falls through, listen to the front of your room. It's almost like dead center in the middle of your room in the front. You can hear the tension on the rope, the noise that is making. Very, very clear. Again, wind noises, bass, everything going on all around your room. But you can hear that rope just getting tenser and tenser. They're pulling on it. Obviously, the dialogue is there. But what I really liked going on was the wind whipping around the room in a counterclockwise motion. Different sounds, though. So it gave you a feeling of like you'd hear a big gust, say, on the left side of your room, and then it would kind of dissipate, go away. But then you would hear it again on the right side of your room. But then immediately following that, it'd be at the right front of your room. So it wasn't a continuous whoosh, like swirling. It just like being out in a storm, you had different gusts making different noises. Sometimes it just felt like it was panning from left to right. It was just going whoosh to that side. But then there were distinct other times where it was counterclockwise around my room. And if you're watching this on YouTube, you see my hands going everywhere. But yeah, the sounds going all around your room, but you have to pay attention to it because you have to be looking for it or listening for it because there is a lot of other stuff going on. You have the glass cracking and about to break. You have the dialogue, them yelling back and forth. You have the tension, paying attention. Is Frank going to make it? Is he not? Spoilers, he doesn't. All of that going on. But yeah, check out that wind. Really, really cool. Up next at 1 hour, 29 minutes, 50 seconds, Not the Flu. I gave it one box of popcorn for the tremendous HDR here. Oh, wait, this movie doesn't have HDR. This is just the Blu-ray. But it still looks great. So this is the scene here where, oh man, if we can get this in HDR, it will be enhanced even more. So here we have Jake Gyllenhaal and everybody is all hunkered down in the library. They found a room with a fireplace and they're all bundled up in there in different clothes. They've got scarves on. You have the room around them. It's got books. It's got lights, those green lights in the background, the lamp, green lampshades. Different colors and textures all over the place. Light coming in from a window. You have light coming, warm light coming off of the fireplace. The light coming in from the window is a cooler light because it's so cold outside. All of this going on, and it looks fantastic the way this was shot. So I called it Not the Flu because they're talking about the girl in the group, on the team. Her name's Laura, I believe. And she has that cut on her leg and she's sick. She's kind of like, I think she's passed out at this point. And they're trying to figure out what's wrong with her. And just watch this scene and back it up a few times and just watch all of the different textures. Take a look at how good it looks. At 1 hour and like 30 minutes, roughly say 1 hour, 30 minutes even. You're looking at Jake Gyllenhaal. He's on the right side of the screen and he's got his head in his hand looking down. He's upset. And one of the adults that's with them, the librarian that works there, she's got a book. She's wearing this maroon type of like overcoat. The colors on that look really nice. The textures, the other kids, they're wearing all these different colored scarves and everything, but all the different textures and materials that they have on are really popping out. But this scene here, this is where you can't see the window, but the light from the outside window is off to the right. It's off screen. But the top corner of your screen has that cool hue coming in on the screen. So it's kind of like blooming the right top corner of the screen. Really looks nice because by the time you get to the left side of the screen, you have nice blacks, nice depth of field and everything. Then when the scene jumps to like, or a jump cut to now you're looking at them from behind, but now you're seeing the fireplace in the warm glow coming off the fire. You go back to this scene here and you see that cool glow coming from a room that you can't even see. And again, if we get this in HDR, how much more do these materials, these colors pop? How much more does that hue? Is it a little bit bluer? I don't know. But just the Blu-ray alone, it looks fantastic in the scene. It's a lot of fun. Really good scene to watch over and over. And hey, if it wasn't HDR, if I showed you this, you may think it's HDR because there's so much depth of field here. So that's why I gave it a box of popcorn. I really enjoyed this scene. I really enjoyed the picture of this movie. It's just a Blu-ray. It's still fantastic. All right, let's move ahead to 1 hour, 30 minutes, 50 seconds. Space Station also gets a box of popcorn for picture and sound. So this is a jump cut. We come right out of the library, and at 1 hour, 30 minutes, 50 seconds, we're out in space. We're looking down on Earth, and we're seeing these storms. We're seeing these clouds, and there's a really nice sense of depth here. Like, at one point, like, you could reach inside those little holes, the centers of these storms. And then the space station pans across, no real sound for it because they're in space, but the space station is panning across your screen. Very crisp, very nice image, the clarity of space. So the space station's clear is going across your screen. Nice deep blacks here, nice sense of depth all throughout this scene. It's a very short scene. And then as it pans over, as the scene pans over, you're seeing the planet Earth is starting to come more into view. And on the left side of your screen, you start to see the edge of it. And that edge that you see on the left, you get that nice glow with the atmosphere against space. So you get that blue glow there. Space is a little bit, is now darker, blacker up in that corner. But as it pans out, there's a slight hue of the light coming off in that top left corner. Sorry. Looks really, really nice. Again, no sound or anything. Don't pay attention to that just yet. It's a gorgeous looking scene. It will absolutely be enhanced if this ever gets a 4K HDR upgrade. Absolutely. Now, let's add in the sound. We're in space. But the drums, the score, it's pulsing. It's just crisp. I wish I could have felt it. Taking a box or two of popcorn off for that. But if we can ever get this and they remaster this and we get that visceral feel, I guarantee you, you'll be feeling these drums because they sounded so good. Even though you couldn't feel them, they still sounded so good, so crisp. Made you jump at times because it was like boom, boom, and then nothing. Then all of a sudden, boom, boom, and you're like, oh boy, ominous. Really, really well put together scene for just, again, it's another 10-second scene, but really cool how it just plays out and the visual and audio to this. That's what this is all about. Really, really fun scene. All right, moving right along to 1 hour, 39 minutes, 40 seconds, Empire State Building. And this is where Jake Gyllenhaal and the guys, they're trying to get back with the medicine and food. And they look up and they see that cold air is coming down that crashed those helicopters earlier in the movie. So they're trying to get there, but we get a jump scene to the top of the Empire State Building, jump cut, a close up of the very top of the Empire State Building as this cold air starts to freeze the Empire State Building. Dead center of your screen, you can hear the freezing, the glass cracking and crashing and breaking. But your whole room has the winds because the camera starts to pull back and pan down. And as it pans down, the Empire State Building is being, you know, you're seeing it more and more from a distance. So it's being, the camera's pulling away from it and it's panning to the left of your screen, the Empire State Building, that is. The sound of all that cracking very slowly pans with it. And as the scene ends, it's only about 20 seconds. Now they've pulled back. You can see almost all of the Empire State Building. And you can still hear that cracking going off on the left side of your screen as you're overlooking all of New York, not all of New York, but a good portion of New York to see it happening everywhere. But back it up. Watch it again. Watch that scene again. Go back 20 seconds and listen for that as it pans right from the center of your screen over to the left side of your screen. Amazing, because your entire room is filled with all the noise. Like if you were hovering in the air looking at the Empire State Building, you can hear all of the wind and the sounds all going on, the storm all going on around you. Really cool effect there, but you really have to pay attention to that one. It's pretty cool though. All right, let's move along to our final scene, 1 hour, 49 minutes, 58 seconds, saved, and Dennis Quaid makes it. They get into the room, and you find everybody's asleep, of course. A little bit of misdirection there, trying to make you think that maybe they're dead. What kind of movie would that be? So they're looking around the room. You got the warm glow coming off the fire. You have the nice, you know, flashlights, powerful flashlights cutting through the darkness, and you can see the smoke or whatever you will in the lights. But check out the awesome ambient sounds around your room. So at roughly like a 50 second mark of this stamp, 149's 50 seconds, you can hear some whistling going on very faintly in the top right of your room. And then as they pan past the fire to focus in on Laura, and you see Jake Gyllenhaal in the background, that little whistling is now over on the left front of your room. So it's just of the wind blowing. All right. That's just one of them. And I don't think it's panning. I think it's two different winds blowing. Also, you can hear, it sounds like dripping water. That's the one that I really want you to pay attention to, because I think it's on the right side. I know it's on the right. I hear dripping. I think it's dripping water. Like, so the room froze over. You have this really warm fire, and that would cause the walls to be melting a little bit and the water to be dripping off of the walls. And I could hear it on the right side of my room, which I'm like, there was nowhere in the movie did you even think. I had to put that all to what would be dripping. And then I just put it all together. I'm like, maybe that's what it is. But there is a distinct sound of a dripping noise on the right side of your room. You've got to listen for it. But it's there. And it's pretty, pretty cool. Really enjoyed that. Lots of fun with this movie. I had so much fun with this movie. I always do. I mean, we had a snowstorm coming. I'm in the middle of a snowstorm right now, and a Roland Emmerich movie is coming out. Well, as you're watching or listening to this, it's out. So I had to do this movie, watch it every year. As a matter of fact, as I was going through with this movie, I'm sitting there going, I'm stamping it out. I'm like, have I done this before? And I had to go through all of my episodes of my podcast to see if I've done this, because I've watched this movie so many times. It's just such a fun movie on a snowy day. You sit down, you got nothing else to do. 2 hours long, lots of fun. Hopefully we get that 4K restoration someday with the HDR and maybe an Atmos or DTS:X mix to give that bass a little bit extra boost so I can get some visceral feel out of it. But I really enjoyed the movie. Lots of fun. Hope you did too. That's it for the breakdown. Well, what did you think? Did I tell you anything you didn't already know? What scenes did I miss? How does this movie stack up in your collection? Leave your comments below on YouTube, or you can hit me up on Twitter at BrightsideHT, or you can email me at brightsidehometheater@gmail.com, and we'll talk about it on Tuesday, where the listeners take over in my audio-only podcast, and I talk all about questions, comments, critiques. How can I make the podcast better? What did you think of this week's movie? And please don't forget to hit subscribe on your favorite podcast platform or on YouTube. Again, it's right there. And if you really like what you see and hear, you can go to patreon.com/brightsidehometheater and sign up for a monthly donation, as little as a dollar or as much as you'd like. Greatly appreciated, but not necessary. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. I'll be back on Tuesday. But until then, go push play. Hey Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.